Testing with your sustaining membership now. Get started again at 1-800-723-4687 or go online at wvpublic.org.
From political marches to new administrations to devastating natural disasters and global shifts in technology, West Virginia Public Broadcasting is there to bring you the news that matters. And when the world changes dramatically, you rely even more on West Virginia Public Broadcasting to deliver the facts, the context, the perspective that's essential to our understanding in difficult times. But the truth is, the news and information you receive from West Virginia Public Broadcasting is essential every single day, whether it's an historic day or an ordinary day. Your ongoing support ensures that West Virginia Public Broadcasting is there for you when you need it, all day long, every day of the year. And we're asking you to protect news that matters. Make that sustaining gift now at 800-723-4687.
Until 10 o'clock this morning, when you make a sustaining pledge, we'll match that dollar for dollar up to $120 a year. The cost of Morning Edition on West Virginia Public Broadcasting happens to be about $120 per hour. So if you make a sustaining pledge right now for $10 a month, along with the match from a generous Studio Society member, you'll be making 2 hours of Morning Edition possible. Now, we can only do this for the first 30 people who call until 10 o'clock this morning, and then it's gone. So make your sustaining pledge right now. Go to wvpublic.org or get started by calling 1-800-723-4687.
This is Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps, the project that celebrates everyday Americans by sharing our stories. And that includes the stories of West Virginians. Now more than ever, it is so important to listen to voices from areas that aren't heard often enough. Whether these stories entertain, inform, or inspire, now is the time to protect the station that shares them with you, West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Call 1-800-723-4687 or go to wvpublic.org.
Think about how often you listen to West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Is it 10 or 15 times a week? Well, then think.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. Jan Rader has been praised for her leadership as interim fire chief of a financially challenged Huntington Fire Department. Now, she's the first full-time female fire chief in West Virginia. Clark Davis reports.
Faithfully discharge the duties of fire chief, the duties of fire chief for the city of
Jan Rader is the first female in the state to lead a professional fire department. The one-time gemologist who worked at a jewelry store in Washington, D.C., didn't see this day coming. Rader says one day while working in the jewelry store, a woman had a heart attack and she couldn't help. She says thankfully two women in the store were there and helped the woman. From there, Rader says her feelings on life changed and she wanted to help people.
It, like a light bulb went off in my head. It's like, first off, I never want to feel helpless again.
This experience also showed Rader that women could be firemen too. After the woman had a heart attack, the Fairfax County Fire and Rescue were called, and some of the workers were women. From there, things changed.
Within a couple weeks, I had taken a CPR class, so I'd know what to do. And then I filled out an application to be a volunteer in Fairfax County to see if it'd be something I'd like.
Which led her to take a test with the Huntington Fire Department closer to her hometown of Ironton, Ohio, just across the river from Huntington. And 22 years after working her way up the ladder, Rader is now the first paid female fire chief in West Virginia. In the state, there are 438 fire departments, according to the West Virginia State Fire Marshal. Only 12 of those departments have full-time chiefs, Huntington being one of them. Of the others, there are 12 female chiefs running volunteer departments.
I'm stubborn enough that I'm certainly not going to allow anybody else to dictate what I will and will not do as far as career choice. I didn't sign up for the career to please anybody else. I did it because it's really what I wanted to do.
Rader says at one point there was one other woman who worked for the fire department, but since the late 90s, she's been the only one. Rader was named interim chief in December. When former Chief Carl Eastham retired, she was immediately thrust into a budget crisis that involved the fire department. Huntington Mayor Steve Williams says it's Raider's leadership and ability to communicate that's helped throughout the process. He says she has the qualities you want in a leader.
Passion, compassion. She's a teacher. She has an intellectual curiosity that doesn't come natural to a lot of folks. And she knows a little bit about everything. And because of that, she can just relate to them. People are just naturally drawn to her.
Raider also serves on the Office of Drug Control Policy in Huntington. She says she was led to that role by encountering the number of people she saw addicted to drugs during emergency calls with the fire department. One of the people she helped save is Mickey Watson. He overdosed twice. Both times, Raider saved his life. Watson says he owes his life and recovery to Raider and her commitment to help those dealing with addiction in the Huntington community.
She's the reason I'm sitting here. She saved my life twice in a week because I choose to live a different life. I was strung out. And she didn't give up when I overdosed. All rights, I should be dead as long as I was out. But I've seen the video, and she wasn't stopping until I was alive.
Fellow fireman Charlie Shoemaker says Raider is good for the department.
She's a very, very competent leader. She's a very good fire ground officer. She's very safety conscious and wants to move this department forward in a very progressive manner. And I think that it's a very positive step in the right direction for the City of Huntington Fire Department.
People like Mickey Watson say Raider can accomplish whatever she sets her mind to, and he's a prime example of that.
She is the perfect example of what a leader in our community should be.
Watson has been sober since November of 2015. Raider says she doesn't worry about the pressure of being the only woman, even though she has met some resistance.
You know what? They expect me to fail. So that's beautiful, because if I fail, so what? That's what they expect. But if I succeed, then they're never going to forget.
Raider says she'll serve in the role of fire chief for as long as Mayor Williams will have her. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. It's 7:49. Areas of fog this morning becoming sunny with highs in the 70s today. Clear tonight with lows in the 50s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
And good morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. I'd like to thank Ashton Mara for sitting in for me this morning so I can give you a terrific message that news matters here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. The news matters, you matter. Make a move that matters by starting your monthly ongoing gift now. $5 a month as a sustainer is an easy way to give back to West Virginia Public Broadcasting and help us maintain the independence and financial health of this essential service. Programs that matter, protect them with a sustaining gift of $20 or $50 a month. Now, get started at wvpublic.org or call 1-800-723-4687. Here's Michelle Lewis, our major gifts officer.
Hi, good morning. It is 7:50, 10 minutes away from 8 o'clock, and you know all the reasons you listen to West Virginia Public Broadcasting. They're the same reasons that it's worthy of your financial support. We wouldn't be here without listener support. It's what pays for everything you hear on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. You've probably heard about the threats to public broadcasting's funding at the state and federal level, and that's why, now more than ever, it is so important to become a sustaining member of West Virginia Public Broadcasting and protect this news that you rely on. How about that contribution of $10 a month as a sustainer? $10 is about what you spend on a movie ticket, maybe a CD or your lunch, and $10 a month is an affordable way to keep West Virginia Public Broadcasting independent and to help keep all the programs you listen to throughout the year coming your way. Your support does matter, so please do it now. Protect West Virginia Public Broadcasting as a sustaining member at wvpublic.org. There's a red donate button on that webpage, Beth. People can just click it and walk through the process of filling out the page and become a sustaining donor.
I'd like to say good morning to Elmer and Dexter calling from Webster Springs this morning. They appreciate listening to West Virginia Public Broadcasting in their little town. And what a pretty little town it is, Webster Webster Springs. Thanks so much for tuning in to West Virginia Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Morning. Call now at 1-800-723-4687. Go online. Look for that little red donate button at wvpublic.org. Consider becoming a sustaining member from your checking account or your credit card. You decide how much to pay. Get started now, 1-800-723-4687.
In the 2016 presidential election, West Virginia voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump, wooed in part by Trump's promises to bring back jobs, particularly coal jobs. In the days following the election, there were reports of miners celebrating Trump's win during a pause from working underground, but not everyone in Appalachia, including some miners, believe coal jobs can be brought back. Carol Lofton reports.
Outside of the United Mine Workers of America, Local 1440 in Matewan, five retired coal miners are sitting in a semicircle to talk politics, coal, and the new president. Trump's popularity in Appalachia stands in stark contrast to the blue-collar way of life seen in West Virginia southern coal fields, at least traditionally. For generations, Democrats tied themselves to the labor movement, including coal miners.
The party that's always been for the working class people, and I've been taught this from knee-high to now, is the Democratic Party has always been more tolerant to working people's needs and civil rights.
That's Bobby May, a third-generation coal miner. He points out that there's a fair amount of difference between him and his fellow miners.
We're diversified, but I personally, in the primaries, voted for Bernie Sanders. I know the young people love him, but he speaks to their needs, you know, their college tuition and working class people.
May's buddies, all fellow miners from UMWA's Local 1440, nodded. None of them voted for Trump. In fact, they say the majority of men in their local voted Democrat in both the primary and general election. They acknowledge that this is unusual for coal miners today, but note that they are also all older. All 800 or so of their local union members are retired.
We try to make decisions that are based on facts here.
That's Terry Steele.
I'm the local tree hugger, I guess you would say, and they let me say what I want to say here.
Steele is probably the farthest left of the group here. The back of his car boasts a sticker reading, "If you love the creator, respect the creation." But he says the local agrees that coal is effectively gone from Matewan.
This railroad track right over here on the main line of Norfolk and Southern was tore out here about 2 years ago. Unhooked from the main track. That's been in there for 100 years, paved over the railroad crossings. Now, to anyone who had common sense, that should tell them what is going on here. I meant, who would tear the railroad track loose, the switch, pave over the railroad crossings? You think Obama had them to do that? That wasn't Obama that done that. Capitalism done that. That's what done that. The reserves are gone here, so don't lie to us about things. Tell us the truth.
Danny White, one of the quieter members of the group, finally chimes in.
I don't know where the Republicans get their ideas. The coal's going to boom because when it's done being depleted, it don't grow back.
There actually is still coal in southern West Virginia. In Mingo County specifically, there are two coal beds. The Fire Clay bed has about 86% of the original coal left, and Pond Creek has about 89%, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. But there's a difference between producible coal and profitable coal. A lot of the easy, lucrative reserves have already been mined. Frank Collins is the union president. He says no matter how much coal is left, the region's economy can't survive forever on just one industry.
You was talking about Democrat and Republican. Well, when Clinton come in, she said, well, we're going to retrain all you coal miners. That everybody got mad over that one. And Trump told them what they wanted to hear, so we'll see. And we've not seen anything yet, but I'm sure he'll make a liar out of me. I wish him the best. So it's not just a Democrat. We're for Republicans. We're for the working people. Democrat, Republican, don't matter. You know, we got to have change. You can't live in the past.
Many in the coal industry have said Obama's Environmental Protection Agency regulations are to blame for the loss of coal jobs. This group doesn't agree.
They use the rules and regulations as an excuse.
And now that natural gas is so cheap, it's pushed coal clean out of the market.
They raped their area and left. Filed bankruptcy so they won't have to pay the hospital card or pensions. They'll have nothing else to do with this area. You know what I mean? We're left here trying to rebuild our community and everything, and they're gone.
The men at Local 1440 are proud of their community and are trying to diversify the local economy through improving infrastructure and promoting tourism. They point to the Mine Wars Museum and the Hatfield-McCoy Trail as pillars of success. Still, they recognize an older way of thinking, one that put coal above all else, has brought their community's economic situation to a head.
Why are we last in everything that's good, and good in everything that's last? If coal was so good, you know, if it's so good, why are we like that? We put our eggs in one basket, it's bad enough, but the basket had a hole in the bottom of it, too.
Now, they're just hoping for economic development that will bring jobs, hopefully good jobs, to Mingo County.
We would be very acceptable to anybody, anything that will provide jobs for our children, our grandchildren in my case. We hosted a fair. People came in and showed us about solar. They showed us about, talked about wind and doing studies. But it is going to take a combination of solar, hydro, wind, coal, gas. It's going to take a combination of all of them to make us energy efficient again, or make us energy independent again. That's United States-wise, not just Southern West Virginia.
But until they have a political champion that will advocate for jobs other than coal, they say Matewan and the coal fields in general are going to continue to suffer. For 100 Days in Appalachia, I'm Carol Lofton.
100 Days in Appalachia is a collaborative reporting project from West Virginia University's Reed College of Media, West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and The Daily Yonder. Follow them on Twitter at Appalachia 100 and on the project's website at 100daysinappalachia.com. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Ashton Mara.